Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Time for the Think Tank. We do this every Tuesday, although yesterday was Tuesday, but the Billikens played, so we're doing it today, where we get a couple of our friends on, usually from different sides of the aisle, but cool people. We don't have bomb throwers on because we don't like them. And we just talk about what's going on, you know, whether it's the city or one of the counties or statewide or nationally. Today, we have our buddy Steve Ellman on, the Duke of St. Charles. We have Kara Spencer, alderwoman from the 8th Ward. First time on the show, first time meeting you. Lovely to meet you.
It's great to meet you too. Great to meet you.
Let's start out with you and let's talk about the boot bill. I was telling you, I saw you and my friend Andy Banker out doing that hit about bad driving and these a-holes on the motorcycles. God, I hate these people because I'm a motorcyclist, and it's, I think you need to call out your own, right? If you're a conservative, call out conservatives. I'm a motorcycle rider. I hate these guys with their wheelies and being jerks, and they're only brave because there's 18 of them. One-on-one, they'd just be punks. You know where to find me. Come on down. I'm here between 1 and 5. I'll kick your ass.
Plus Collins out front.
So let's talk about the boot bill.
Yeah, well, look, reckless driving and driving like a maniac has really gotten out of control in the city of the St. Louis. I mean, you see it every day, like you said. It's not just those motorcyclists. I mean, my gosh, we have had, you know, fatalities recently, Drake concert. Obviously, Janae Edmondson losing her legs downtown, just walking down the street. You know, it's time we take a hard stance against this. So, you know, we're really preempted in some regards on traffic stuff, you know, at the state level. So what we did was put together a bill that would allow us to, you know, put a damper on your fun. You know, right now, if you're driving recklessly, a police officer can pull you over, give you a ticket, and then you go on your merry way, right? You're just going to keep going and doing whatever you want that night. But this bill will empower the police officer to put a boot on your car, put an end to it. It's going to be a big hassle to get your get the boot off, and hopefully it'll curb behavior, which is what we want to do.
So who's against this?
Well, I mean, you know, you know, there is some concern that this would disproportionately impact people of low income who would have to, as the bill is written, you have to pay, you know, you'd have to put up a bond, you know, to make sure that you're going to show up for court and, you know, be held accountable for these things. And that could be a hardship for folks. But we're going to muscle through this. I mean, I think that the will is there. People are tired of it. I'm tired of it. You know, this is, we're losing people's lives. This is bad for, you know, tourism. It's bad for people who live here. It's bad for all of us.
I mean, I'll say it. I'm very concerned about people with low income. I'm very open to all sorts of things that make sure that we don't disproportionately hurt certain communities and marginalized communities. But being stupid is being stupid, and being dangerous is being dangerous. And at some point, you just have to say, yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to figure out a way. Has it made its way out to you guys out in St. Charles?
Yeah, it's, we have the same problem. Probably not to the same extent, but it's a problem. And there's people on the right that get upset with forfeiture. And St. Charles County, we're number two in the state in terms of forfeiture because of I-70 and I-64. And under forfeiture laws, you probably know, if you stop somebody and they have illegal drugs, you can seize their car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people think that's government going too far. You know, they don't think we should be able to seize the car. And
the world is topsy-turvy right now. I mean, I swear to you, the conservatives 5 years ago are not the conservatives I know now, and vice versa. It's almost flipped.
Yeah, the left and right have kind of come together.
Yeah, they really have.
Yeah,
it's like when a pond flips over.
The other problem we have, and I think all the city has it too, people start speeding, and we start chasing them.
Yeah.
Our police start chasing them, and not us, but the people we're chasing kill somebody.
You bet.
They sue the police department as well.
Yeah.
And until juries can start making that distinction and start weighing some of this a little bit better, I shouldn't even say this, I guess. We don't chase people unless they actually have a felony warrant.
Okay.
Okay? So there's some people, we might start chasing them, and we'll call it in, and they'll say no.
Yeah,
we'll call it off.
Wow,
we had a case several years ago. We did that. We called it off, but the guy we're chasing kept going the same speed and did kill someone.
So I know you guys aren't sociologists or philosophers, but I want to talk about this fight with Hazelwood East with this poor girl fighting for her life, but with all these things. And, you know, I'm a pretty seasoned guy. I've been an attorney. I've been a radio show host. It's pretty hard to shock me. These things are shocking me. And I have a 29-year-old, and more importantly, I have a 19-year-old daughter with a big mouth. And she goes to KU, and she's always squaring up on 6'8" guys. And I'm just like, you got, people are insane right now. What do you think? What do you make of it?
I think social media plays a major role here. I mean, look, I was a teenager once myself. You know, you get into an argument with somebody and it escalates. And once other people see you getting into an argument, you know, it is
nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. Yeah,
it's exactly right. And with social media just being that explosive fuel on the fire, I think it's a real big it's a real problem.
Yeah.
It's a real, you know. But certainly the videos that have come out of Hazelwood are just so heartbreaking.
I haven't watched them yet.
It wasn't on purpose, but on social media, you know, I mean, it's just all over the place. And it is truly, truly heart-wrenching to watch.
Well, with all the time I spent either as a student or a teacher, I've seen plenty fights.
Yeah.
I've seen plenty girl fights.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a lot different than the boy fights. But this one here is really, it's a whole nother step. And I don't know what would possess someone to take the head and beat it against the concrete like that.
Yeah, to have that much rage built up by 15 years of age.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, when I was 15, I had a couple of scraps, but I was mostly just trying to get out of them, you know? And I mean, God, I sound a million years old, but in the old days, if you knock someone down, they were down.
Let me ask you a question, Dave, because, you know, in this discussion we've been having at East-West Gateway about crime in the region and so forth. You know, we had several people come in and talk about the fact that not only after we catch the criminals and even after we convince the potential criminals not to be criminals, that we've got a serious problem with all these youngsters who've been exposed to violence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm saying, so you mean when we get people to quit doing crime, we're still not finished? And they said no. And I don't know, maybe this is a good example. I don't, obviously, that girl had to see somebody else do that somewhere. Maybe it was on media, or maybe it was in person, but I guess that's what they're talking about, which is kind of a scary thing.
I think it's a compound set of facts. I think you're absolutely right. Exposure to violence plays a major role. You know, we still have major issues of exposure to lead in our communities. And, you know, I think that a stagnant regional economy, seeing, you know, the opportunities in our community diminish over time is weighing, is a level of stress on all of us that just compounds the whole issue. I mean, these kids are not seeing job opportunities in St. Louis, in the region, like their parents did.
And to Kara's point, when I had my little dust-ups, I wasn't on camera. And when you're on camera, you're going to act differently. Maybe you'll act better, maybe you'll act worse, but who knows what was in this girl's head who was doing this. But knowing that you're on camera and you're probably going to go viral may cause a change in your behaviors.
Well, what was amazing is nobody stop.
I know.
Nobody even tried to stop.
I know.
But it was so violent. I mean, to put yourself, your bodily, you know, it really was.
I think I would have been in shock had I been standing there watching it. I hope I would have intervened, but I think it would have taken me a couple seconds because my brain wouldn't be processing what was going on.
When we were in high school, it was a sort of incident that happened in the halls. They called the coach.
Oh, yeah.
Call the coach, right?
You bet. Yeah.
Because, a lot of times the teachers, men and women, really weren't physically capable of keeping two people apart.
So tell me about the Metrolink and this money that's been approved.
Well, maybe Carol wants to talk about it first.
The
route.
The route
The route has been approved.
Okay.
And with the approval of the route, the city now can go and request federal funds. I've heard there's 29 cities ahead of them. Mm-hmm. But they are looking to get $1.1 billion, okay, which is a hefty amount.
Yeah.
And several of us at East West Gateway just question spending that on Metrolink. We think a lot more money needs to be spent on mass transit. But does Metrolink really serve the people who need to be served, especially given the cost? The route they're talking about is basically on Jefferson Boulevard, running north and south.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Talby Roach, I said, well, do you have a route, a bus route on that today? And they said, well, no. So, well, if it's going to be a good route from Metrolink, wouldn't it be good to do a bus in the meantime? And if you did it, we could then see how many people actually ride it.
Well, then,
they're predicting 5,000 people a day. And all the other predictions over the years, they've been lucky to meet half, to meet them at 50%.
Yeah. I mean, I think 5,000 people per day is absolutely ludicrous. I mean,
that kind of money?
It's crazy. I mean, look, before I got in politics, this was 10 years ago, I was the biggest proponent of the North-South Metrolink that you would find, okay? It's the issue that got me involved in city politics. And I was staunchly in favor of light rail as opposed to bus rapid transit or any other transit investment. But in the last 10 years, we have seen, you know, driverless cars, just huge amounts of innovation in the transportation industry. We have no idea what the future looks like.
That's a good point.
And to put $1.1 billion in a fixed light rail system in the city of St. Louis right now, to mortgage this out, even if we were lucky enough to get federal funding. And I think that is very questionable, quite honestly, because when you look at the factors that the federal government is taking into account, our city is shrinking. We have no growth. Okay, and back 5 years ago, East-West Gateway put a slug of $1 million into a study to take a look at whether or not we were even going to qualify for these federal funds. And that study was really robust. It was done by Farr and Associates out of Chicago. They came back and gave us recommendations to prove viability and to increase our likelihood of getting those federal funds. We have done none of those recommendations. None.
So basically, we're trying to fund infrastructure as if we were twice or three times the size.
Well, I mean, it's a line that it has 10 stops. It goes from Chippewa up to Fairground Park. It doesn't connect into the county. It doesn't go,
And you remember where the original route was?
It went to downtown. That's absolutely right.
And why did they move it to downtown? Because the activity was moving from downtown out there. Oh, by the time we get the money and get this built, how do we know all the activity isn't on Kings Highway?
Well, you're right.
It's going to change. So if you're dealing with change, and hopefully it does change, and hopefully there are hot spots in the city, but you don't want to put all your money
like
on rails because
you can't
move them.
Right. But if you say, okay, $1.1 billion, even if we got the federal match, that's 60%. Yeah. We're still looking at $500 million, more or less, coming out of the city of St. Louis. We have a tax that generates about $12 million a year. Think about that. $12 million a year. How many years would we have to mortgage out just to fund our portion?
So who's pushing it and why?
Okay, well, this is an initiative that's being pushed by the administration. It's popular at the voting, the ballot box right now. But I think if voters really took a critical look at this and thought, should we mortgage out all of our public transit money for the next 50 years and bank it on these 10 stops as the only public transit expansion that we have funding to do? I mean, it's ludicrous.
You know what, though? I'm not calling anybody stupid. I'm really not. Because it's not just a St. Louis City thing. It's a county thing. It's a Wisconsin thing. It's a California thing. I don't think people think the way that we think they think. I think they go, hey, you know what? You could have a Metrolink going from there to there. And they go, great. That sounds good to me. Yeah. I don't think people think $1 billion isn't real. $100 is real.
Yeah.
$1 billion is like, okay. Yeah.
Billion here, billion there.
Billion here,
before
billion
you know
there.
It, you got real money, right?
We're talking to Steve Ellman and Alderwoman Kara Spencer. Going to take a quick break. Be right back. DGS. Welcome back, guys. DGS, just about 4:25 on a beautiful Wednesday. We have our pal Steve Ellman here. Bigger first appearance is Alderwoman Kara Spencer. So, Kara, about 10 years now you've been in politics?
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Tell me about it. I mean, what surprised you? What has elated you? What has depressed you?
It is the dream life, let me tell you. actually, when I got into politics, I ran for office because, well, lots of reasons, but one of which was that we had a liquor moratorium in the district, and I wanted to see some bars and restaurants open up on Cherokee Street to help revitalize that area. And it's really helped, quite frankly. And so, but one of the things that, you know, has really surprised me, I'm a mathematician by training, but this is what I studied in school, and I did work in that field.
Gosh, we have so much in common.
And, you know, I did mathematical modeling for big companies, you know, and, you know, I kind of look at, you know, the city's budget and the investments we make, you know, as does this give a return to our investors, our residents, our businesses, and the folks that make the city work. And that's not a universal approach to government, I'll tell you.
No. So, as Steve was pointing out on the break.
That's my biggest shock, really, you know, the lack of strategic planning and, you know, a real focus on getting a return on what we're putting our money at, our tax dollars.
And how are we doing? I've lost track. I mean, in my mind, the city's sitting on $1 billion between RAMs and federal funding and such. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of that's been spent. I don't know where it's gone. I don't think many people do. Do you?
I do. Okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah. As of this morning, we have spent $100 million of the $500 million of ARPA money. So about 20%. And we are, 3 years, three years in at least.
Don't you have to the end of the year that you have to at least tell them?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we're at risk of giving this money back. It's a real problem. I mean, if we don't get that encumbered and squared away, we're going to be in big trouble. I would have liked to see us spend a lot more of that on infrastructure and setting ourselves up. I think we've got some real challenges ahead, potentially with the earnings tax. With our population loss and other things that could really put our budget in tight constraints. And so I'm going to be pushing as we are looking at those monies moving forward that's where we put them.
Yeah. And Steve, you're the guy, I quote you all the time, St. Louis City is not a St. Louis City thing. It's a St. Charles County thing. It's a St. Louis County. It's a Jefferson County thing. If downtown goes down, St. Louis goes down, and everyone else goes down.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, you can remember when the Cardinals were in the World Series or the Blues were in the Stanley Cup or even now the soccer team, and they're on national TV, and people see the arch, and they think, boy, it must be great to live in the St. Louis region, okay? Or you see a documentary about, some of our institutions, the zoo or the art museum or whatever. And all that works in our favor. But when people around the country see the crime on the streets in St. Louis City, and it's not even in the entire city.
No.
But people don't make those distinctions about where it is. They just
perception.
Think we're just stuck with that. And they think, boy, I'd never want to go to St. Louis.
Yeah. Do most of your colleagues understand that, agree with it? It's just a matter of how we fix it.
There's so many of us down there. I don't want to put, everybody in a box. I'll say I get it, certainly. And when I ran for re-election here, my new district, which includes a big chunk of downtown, it really resonated with folks, that we've got to be serious about crime. That's why last year I passed that gun bill prohibiting the open carrying of firearms, which has made a really big difference in just the proliferation, the visible guns, because as Steve pointed out, I mean, when you see that, on Twitter and you're visiting and you see, kids walking around downtown with semi-automatic weapons, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
And that's curbed that behavior quite significantly.
Yeah. Sincerely, thank you for doing that. Yeah. I think that was great.
Let me ask you a question, Kara. How many people in the city or anywhere in the region are carrying guns illegally because they're either on parole or probation?
That I don't know.
And if you really want to get guns off the street, I mean, you can pass laws, but how are you? Do you have enough people to enforce the additional laws? Because I don't think we're doing a very good job of enforcing the ones we have. We have a lot of people that shouldn't be carrying guns and are.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, and our police department, our police force is at an all-time low. And it's not just the police department. Our staffing across city departments is we're at about 30% vacancy across the board. It's really scary. It's disabling us from delivering city services, including and most importantly, public safety.
Andrew, this is a good team. We need to put these guys together again. So great to meet you. Really happy to meet you. And
next time we'll try to disagree about something.
and we'll change shirts, me and you. I'll wear that and you wear this.